T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Nepal tea exports surge as India prepares to close down tea production in the north. A close look at India's ambitious 400 million kilo tea export goal. And Hainan tea, a breakthrough discovery in Camellia sinensis research. Plus, a global tea alliance. Africa's tea stakeholders believe that actions more than words are needed to address the global challenges facing the tea industry. East African Tea Trade Association Managing Director George Ramunga said the 500 tea professionals attending the 6th African Tea Convention understand the need to reduce production volume to improve quality and raise profitability, which is essential to financing climate resilience and achieving sustainable cultivation at origins worldwide. George joins us on TBiz this week to share key takeaways from the event, including details on establishing a global alliance to benefit tea-producing countries. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Nepal's tea export volume is up 36% and average prices increased more than 50% to 1.7 billion rupees, about 12.8 million in U.S. dollars, according to the Meichi Customs Office. Fiscal third quarter exports totaled 6,426 metric tons and continue to climb after India announced it would halt production at 300 farms in Darjeeling, Terai, and the Duars from December to February. According to the Tea Board of India, dormancy during the winter months benefits quality and will help control the oversupply of black tea. Plucking and receiving green leaves will stop on November 30th. The board has yet to announce when plucking will resume. During this period, India is considering banning all Nepali tea imports. The Millennium Post reports the tea industry in North Bengal is intensifying efforts to stop the entry of Nepalese tea into India after November 30th. Small tea growers have threatened to stage an indefinite sit-in at the border if their demands are not met. Nepal, on the other hand, wants to double exports. The Nepal Tea Producers Association chairman, Aditya Parajuli, told the Annapurna Express that tea exports, quote, would increase further if facilitation efforts were made from the government side, end quote. Quote, when there is an abnormally low supply in India, all quality teas from Nepal become attractive. CTC tea prices have increased 1.5 times, says Samshur Tea Director Anshu Giri. Quote, this trend continues until India's own production catches up to demand, and after prices start normalizing, the demand for Nepal's CTC takes a nosedive, he said. What happens after November 30th is yet to be seen. The Indian tea industry is vehemently opposed to any imports from Nepal, he said. Samshur Tea produces low-grown CTC and orthodox black tea at the Girabandhu Tea Estate in Bertramod. Giri does not export to India. Quote, generally speaking, the demand for Nepal CTC in India is for the lower common quality, lower price grades in the 90 to 110 rupee per kilogram bracket, he said. While the volume of Nepal tea imported duty-free is relatively small at 17 million kilos compared to the 1.2 million metric tons produced in North India, the most valued of these are orthodox tea, nearly equal to Darjeeling's output annually. India imports about 11 to 12 million kilos of bulk CTC from Nepal each year. Business insight. Nepal experiences the same dormancy period as North India, so production is normally closed in the winter months. There's nowhere near enough tea in Nepal to meet India's shortfall. North India's production is down an estimated 20% through July. India is mainly closing factories to prevent the processing of leathery leaves from pruned branches and to stop the making of RP, or reprocessed tea. The Tea Board of India has set an ambitious export target of 400 million kilos by 2047. India currently exports about 230 million kilos of tea annually, which is about 10% of the world's tea exports. In 2023, exports were valued at 706 million for 226 million kilos, according to statistics compiled by UN Comtrade. The Tea Board of India calculated exports slightly higher at 228 million kilos. Most tea exports are CTC grades, but orthodox brings the best prices. India exported 5.5 million kilos of orthodox tea in 2023. Last year's export totals were down about 1.4% compared to 2022. According to the Tea Board, exports are 24 million kilos ahead of 2023 through July, but unit prices averaged 256 rupees per kilo, down 3.2% compared to the same reporting period last year. Dubai in the United Arab Emirates is India's most important trading partner, buying 120 million of tea used mainly for blending. Dubai is the world's largest tea re-exporter, shipping 51 million kilos valued at $483 million last year. These totals include 430,000 kilos of mainly Indian tea to Pakistan, since India no longer trades directly. India's top 10 trading partners by value include Iraq at about 71 million, the Russian Federation at about 70 million, the United States at 52 million, the UK at 42 million, Germany at 32 million, Iran at 30 million, Saudi Arabia at 25 million, and Turkey at 22 million. Three countries, China, Kazakhstan, and the Netherlands, are tied at the 10th rank, each spending 17.5 million for Indian tea last year. Exports account for 20% of India's total tea production, and there is plenty of room to expand India's domestic consumption. At a recent Tea Board meeting, consultants reported that per capita consumption remains low compared to neighboring countries. Packet tea from regional and national suppliers dominates with 77% market share, but is growing slowly. Consumers mainly choose commodity brands, which leads to, quote, low wallet share in household budgets, end quote. Coffee and other packaged beverages pose a growing threat since relatively small amounts of tea are consumed out of home. In the world of tea, Hainan Island, located near the south coast of China, has remained an enigma until now. In a groundbreaking study, scientists have confirmed the discovery of a new, independently evolved variety of Hainan tea through genome resequencing. The discovery sheds light on the unique genetic background of tea plants grown in the island's tropical environment. The study, conducted by researchers from the Yunnan Agricultural University and Hainan Academy of Agricultural Sciences, marks a significant milestone in tea research, especially given Hainan's historically understudied tea resources. Hainan Island, known for its rich biodiversity and unique geographical conditions, has long been a significant tea-growing region. However, the tea species on the island were previously misclassified due to their similarities with the well-known Camellia sinensis variety Assamica. The team collected 500 tea samples from various regions on the island using advanced whole genome resequencing techniques to analyze the genetic differences between Hainan tea and other cultivated varieties. The study revealed that Hainan tea forms a distinct taxonomic group separate from the widely cultivated C. sinensis and C. sinensis variety Assamica. The discovery expands our knowledge of tea plant diversity and opens new possibilities for conservation and breeding programs. The high genetic diversity of Hainan tea, bolstered by its unique evolutionary history, positions it as a valuable resource for future molecular breeding and conservation efforts. Additionally, the findings could serve as a framework for studying other plant species unique to Hainan, providing insights into the island's ecosystem and its potential for agricultural innovation. This discovery positions Hainan tea as a vital genetic resource for the tea industry, with potential conservation and molecular breeding applications. Reported by TBiz correspondent Rupak Goswami in Assam. Next, Harvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 25th October 2024. The fourth edition of the Assam Folk Tea Festival has been announced. Journalist and tea farmer Mrinal Taluktar, who organizes this festival, has announced the date as November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. The three-day event was designed to celebrate Assam's tea industry and foster collaboration and innovation, and it takes place in Vishwanath Chariali in Assam. The sessions this year will include workshops, knowledge-sharing sessions, a heritage tea walk, a visit to a tea factory, sampling local cuisine, a car rally, folk music, and other cultural celebrations. It is a one-of-a-kind festival in the country for tea. In other news, Tata and HUL announced a hike in tea prices for the quarter October to December, and prices are expected to go up by 5 to 10%. The two market leaders have said that overall tea production has decreased by 20%, further impacted by the winter closure of tea gardens. Tata also noted that Starbucks has seen an 18% decline in sales, attributed to urban flooding and broader economic conditions. And lastly, the lifestyle brand Ilem has launched a tea range in India, roping in Bollywood actor Zeenat Aman to promote it via a digital campaign. The brand has launched Japanese Sencha, Hojicha, Matcha, and Genmaicha. And Ishwani Patel, who spent over a decade in Japan, has started the brand to promote Japanese lifestyle products here.
Now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and I founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Africa's tea stakeholders believe that actions more than words are needed to address the global challenges facing the tea industry. East African Tea Trade Association Managing Director George Ramunga said the 500 tea professionals attending the 6th African Tea Convention understand the need to reduce production volume to improve quality and raise profitability, which is essential to financing climate resilience and achieving sustainable cultivation at origins worldwide. George joins us on TBiz this week to share key takeaways from the event, including details on establishing a global alliance to benefit tea-producing countries. Georgia Mugo was named Managing Director of the East Africa Tea Trade Association in January 2024. He was welcomed as a seasoned professional, quote, who brings a wealth of experience and a fresh perspective to lead our dynamic team. We are confident that his leadership will drive innovation, foster collaboration, and propel our association to new heights, end quote. George is a graduate of Edgerton University with an advanced degree in community studies and a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture and Human Ecology. He managed fields and factory operations for Sotik Tea Companies, worked as a general manager at Ngorongo Tea Company in Kiambu, and managed Transatlantic Trading Company in Nairobi. George, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. You recently returned from the 6th African Tea Convention and Expo in Kigali, Rwanda. This year's conference theme emphasized sustainability. Will you share a few takeaways from the event?
There were quite a number of takeaways from the event. Number one, the need to redefine sustainability, because there are quite a number of organizations like the certification bodies pushing for sustainability of the tea sector, specifically on the living wage,
right,
without discussing the living income for the farmers. So one of the key takeaways was for the sustainability proponents to balance, to redefine what sustainability actually means. Number two, in terms of sustainability, there were discussion around the soil health, because in the tea sector, the use of inorganic fertilizer, that has definitely interfered with the natural soil ecosystem, specifically on the microorganism ecology of the soil. So there was also need to consider, under sustainability, the production of low carbon tea. The low carbon tea production should be paid to a premium van. You can't talk about low carbon tea without discussing about the premiumization of the low carbon teas. So issues dealing with the environmental conservation, the conservation of high value ecosystems, specifically the wanton destruction of natural forests. So this was tied with what we call the adoption of renewable energy in the tea sector, because the sector has over time relied on wood fuel. The wood fuel is not sustainable. So there was a need to incorporate what we call an energy mix, specifically on the utilization, the adoption of renewable energy, the exploitation of solar as a source of energy in the tea sector, because we are fortunate enough in the tropics, we have solar from the sun energy from January to January. We don't have winters like you people. We could leverage on this to ensure that we use a proper energy mix, both hydro, the utilization of solar, and the geothermal, to reduce our reliance on wood fuel that has direct impact on the environment, especially on climate change. Because one of the issues that came out strongly is the negative impact of climate change in the tea sector. So the onus is on the sector players to ensure that the tea sector players in Africa develop what we call climate resilient adaptation measures in the tea sector to take the sector to the next level.
The industry is beginning to see sustainability as a holistic concept. It requires regenerative soil management, renewable energy, and wisdom about giving back, not just taking, to create an equilibrium where the soil provides growers with great options that needs to be renewed.
Yes, so there was a proposal to incorporate the utilization of organic manure, not complete adoption of organic manure, but supplement the fertilization, the fertigation with organic manure. In as much as the sector should use the inorganic manure, they should incorporate some elements of organic manure to boost the soil health.
Are you discussing biochar and introducing methods of enriching the soil using natural ingredients?
Yes. Biochar is one of the options. So the utilization of biochar to correct the soil pH and improve the organic matter of the soil is very critical for improving the soil health and changing the pH of the soils. During our convention, we discussed something on ESG practices. The practices that addresses environmental issues, social issues, and governance. So when it comes to environmental issues, it's the soil health. Take back, you see, when you pluck tea, you are removing nutrients from the soil. We need the African tea producing countries need to focus on the soil health and then address the all soil ecology to mitigate the impacts of climate change and address issues sustainability. So what Rwanda has done, they are also implementing the ESG practices in their farms to ensure that environmental conservation issues are taken care of, the conservation of high value ecosystems is taken care of, the improvement of soil health is taken care of. Then we come to governance, both social and governance. All the holistic governance of the tea sector must take cognizance of the tea ecology, soil ecology, and the social aspect of the sector. So the ESG policies and practices are gaining momentum in the tea sector, both in Kenya and in the African region, for the sustainability aspect and maintain quality. Once you have disregarded the environmental aspect and the quality of the soil, it means you will indirectly impact the quality of the tea that is offered in the market. So we are cognizant of this, and we will continuously engage the tea producers, both in Kenya and the other tea producing countries, to adopt under sustainability the ESG aspect of sustainability.
There's a political and governmental aspect. The ministry needs to see that big picture, right? Last June, representatives of the Indian and several African national tea associations and Kenya's independent tea producers met in Dubai, where they called for the restoration of market equilibrium.
We came up with a raft of measures. We met in Dubai, and we agreed to come up with strategies of addressing the current mismatch in terms of supply and demand in the global tea chain. And I'm glad that they also came up with their own strategies from 15th of November up to 15th of February. There will be no leaf harvesting in India to remove about 100 million kilos of poor quality teas from the market to stabilize the tea prices in India. So we intend and agreed to form what we call Global Tea Alliance.
A Global Tea Alliance, yes. Will you tell us more about that initiative?
The tea producing countries in the world will be able to address their challenges as an alliance, instead of leaving Kenya to address their own issues, Uganda, their own issues, India, their own issues. So the Global Tea Alliance should be able to meet in a structured manner to come up with strategies of revamping the global tea sector and ensuring that the prices are viable, remain viable, and ensure that we address the current mismatch in terms of supply and demand.
So in the months ahead after your meeting in Rwanda, what do you anticipate unfolding from the alliance?
After our convention in Rwanda, we have developed what we call key areas that we expect the tea-producing countries to address to improve the value of the African teas. We mentioned about the focus on quality. We have mentioned about sustainability. We agreed on what we call leveraging on the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. When it comes to the development of new markets, Africa has a population of 1.4 billion people. In 2023, Africa produced 797 million kilos. Now, with a population of 1.4 billion people, if we leverage on the protocol that is provided by the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, whose secretariat is in Accra, Ghana, I believe the African tea should be consumed within Africa. Our population is huge, 1.4 billion. So it means we should be able, apart from relying on a market like Pakistan, Africa should be able to trade within themselves. So we need to promote intra-African trade. And to achieve this, we have proposed to the African governments to develop a common infrastructure to ease trade. Because currently, if somebody wants to ship tea from Mombasa, Kenya, to West Africa, at times it takes 3 months because the ship goes up to Europe, docks in Europe, before it comes to West Africa.
Ah.
Yeah, so the infrastructure development came out very strongly to promote the intra-African trade so that the teas produced in Africa could be consumed in Africa and only the excess is exported out of Africa. With that, by doing that, we believe that will improve the prices and the sustainability of the African tea as a sector. So we agreed also on common advocacy.
Right.
Within the African tea producing countries to address the challenges facing the African tea, especially on value addition. We've talked about bulk exports for many years. So this is the time that Africans believe that we need to grow the value addition segment of African tea to enable Africa export her tea in value-added form. You are aware that Sri Lanka exports almost 46% of her tea in value-added form. This is in terms of packets, loose tea packed in small packages, tea bags. And about 50% is exported in bulk. Africa, the Mombasa auction, we export 95% of our production. So the reason is Mombasa auction is zero rated. The teas traded in Mombasa auction does not attract VAT. But if you want to buy the tea for value addition and distribution in the local supermarket chains, you pay VAT on tea. You pay 35% import duty on packing materials. You pay 25% excess duty on imported packing materials. You pay 1% railway levy for Kenya. And then you also pay something called IDF levy. So by the time you clear your packing materials and land it to the factory and package the teas in Africa, the unit cost is extremely high. It becomes uncompetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at the advocacy part of it to convince the African governments to address the huge levies and taxes so that they are removed to grow the value addition component of the African tea. Because it is very unfortunate that once tea is sold at the auction in Mombasa, it loses identity. Immediately it is sold. For the big buyers will rip off the African packages, the various garden marks, blend these teas with the teas from other countries, including imported teas, and the African tea loses its identity immediately.
Right.
Getting a settler Kenyan tea in Europe is very difficult. Very difficult.
Right.
You appreciate that we still produce tea without the utilization of agrochemicals, especially herbicides and pesticides. So when you analyze the MRA levels in the African tea, the levels are very low because we only use the inorganic fertilizer. The way tea is brought into bearing does not encourage the growth of weeds. So no utilization of herbicides, no utilization of pesticides, because we have no known pests in the tea sector. And this is the reason why the issues concerning climate change came out so strongly to ensure that we address climate-related challenges to mitigate any form of pest infestation in the tea-growing areas in Africa. Because when this is not done, definitely there will be gradual increase in temperature, there will be a definite change in climate, and maybe the conditions will be favorable for the proliferation and multiplication of pesticides in the tea sector. So currently, the issues of climate change came strongly, value addition came strongly, infrastructure development came strongly, leverage on Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement came out strongly, and leverage on AGOA initiative. You know the American trade arrangement within the East African America. America is one of the largest consumers of tea, but they consume tea in flavored form and ready-to-drink form. It is the time that the African tea-producing countries need to study the American market, provide what that market requires, because they buy the tea from Africa, do the flavors, re-export the teas to the American market as their own teas, not African tea.
These are good takeaways. Sometimes the tea industry only sees Kenya in this supply-demand quandary. Could you cite some examples of things happening, policy changes and other things representing an effort to implement some of these sustainability initiatives?
One of the most recent policy change that has happened in Kenya, you remember Kenya introduced RISA prices in 2021 for the smallholder farmers. Remember, the Kenyan smallholder farmers managed by KTDA are the single largest tea producers in the world as an entity. They produce 60% of the Kenyan annual tea production. When the government introduced RISA price implementation for the smallholder run managed factories, this distorted the market because it's as if they guarantee farmers income without defining minimum quality standards. So they guaranteed the issue of RISA price guaranteed farmers an income, but did not guarantee buyers of quality. So the minimum RISA price did not define what minimum quality threshold entailed. And so farmers went and harvested tea, disregarded the quality aspects of the market, because already the government had guaranteed them of a minimum income.
Uh-huh.
So this resulted to huge outlaws from the auction, huge accumulation of old stocks, because every time the teas were offered for sale in the auction, the quality was not commensurate to the asking price.
Yeah. Buyers aren't fooled. They're tasting teas from all over the world. They're tasting teas from all over Africa. You can't convince them it's a good tea by telling them that. They have to taste it, and if it's not, they're not going to offer the price.
Yes, so they shied away from buying those teas, and that distorted the market completely because of the huge accumulation of stocks. Now, remember, tea loses value with age.
Right.
So the more they kept the teas in the warehouses, the more the teas lost value.
Right.
So we have been in constant engagement with government from the month of February. And on 7th of October, the government withdrew and removed the implementation of retail prices completely to allow the market forces dictate prices. So that is one of the policies that we believe will stabilize the sector in the long term. If you don't consume this commodity as a country, the country exports 95% of our annual production. That means we over-rely on export market. Then you come and dictate the price of a commodity that you don't consume. This has punished the farmers heavily, because teas from a certain region in Kenya, west of the Rift Valley, were not selling for 2 years. So the losses have been very massive. So we've taken our time, done a lot of engagement, a lot of consultation, but eventually they have accepted to remove the reserve prices. But we started much earlier to allow, to advise them to offload the old stocks. Let the old stocks meet the market, reduce the volumes of the old stocks, then later remove the reserve price, which has happened. That will definitely turn around the sector within a very short time, because what happens in Kenya affects global teaching.
How much old stock is out there?
By August 1st, we had old stocks worth 115 million kilos. There's been a push to sell these teas privately, and currently the volumes have dropped down. KTBA gave a figure of 30 million, but I've yet to confirm the accuracy of those figures. But I believe the old stock is currently below 50 million kilos. And remember, from the month of June, July, August, these are months that have been very cold. And so production declined by almost 50%. So you combine the cold season, the low production season, with the movement of the old stocks, I believe by December, the sector shall have been turned around. The future of African tea is bright. With the implementation of the recommendations that came out of the convention, the African tea future can only be better. So we look forward to support the African tea sector to ensure that the sustainability of the tea sector in Africa is guaranteed for the coming generations. Thank you.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.